Sunday the 17th of June 2018, 9 o'clock service. Sermon series, What's Our Part? Sermon title, To Be Honest. Bible reading, Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 32. Talk by Reverend Christine Harding.
The reading this morning is taken from Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 32, the parable of the lost son. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men." So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we have to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And this is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Gwen, for reading God's word for us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. And Father, I pray that the words that I speak will be your words. And by your spirit, you would open our ears and soften our hearts so that we can receive from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're continuing our sermon series, and this morning we're looking at To Be Honest. A husband and wife are getting ready for bed. The wife is standing in front of a full-length mirror, taking a hard look at herself. "You know, dear," she says, "I look in the mirror and I see an old woman. My face is all wrinkled. Everything else is either sagging or bloated. I've got fat legs and my arms are all flabby." She turns to her husband and says, Tell me something positive to make me feel better about myself. He studies hard for a moment whilst he thinks about it. And then he says in a soft, thoughtful voice, "Well, there's nothing wrong with your eyesight." The parable of the lost son is probably one of the best well-known stories in the Bible, and everyone mainly focuses on the son who took his inheritance and ignores the elder son and father, who both have huge parts in this story. In many ways, it resembles many of our lives or those around us and is very relevant to us. It's not just a story about a son who thought he knew best and turned away from his father and home, or a son full of envy and jealousy, but more importantly, it's about a father who is filled with love for his children. A perfect piece of scripture for today as we celebrate Father's Day. And the first we're going to be looking at this morning is the younger son. Was he being completely honest with himself when he asked for his inheritance? Because in many ways he was wishing his father dead when he asked for it up front. And part of that wanting his inheritance now was so that he could be free to go and do what he wanted to, with no regard to his father or feelings. The son had got fed up working the land. The grass certainly looked greener on the other side, and he wanted to enjoy some of that greenery. It was this kind of thinking and request that was the beginning of his downfall, rather than the beginning of a new life. And we see this same kind of culture in our world today, thinking we can do what we like, when we like, with no thought to others. The moment he claimed his rights was the moment he separated his interests from the interests of his family, and not when he began to live separately and recklessly. The desire to leave home and face the responsibilities of adulthood is perfectly natural. But once he received his freedom, he did not take his responsibilities seriously. He was still immature and had a lot to learn. But he could only see as far as his wants. Finally, he could envision total freedom from authority. But I wonder, had he really thought it through? Was he being honest with himself? Or was it just because all his friends were doing it, so it made sense to him to go out into the big wide world and live the life that he wanted to without any restrictions? The world was his oyster, or was it? The first lesson I believe he needed to learn was honesty, especially with himself. Because honesty is of the utmost importance in human relationships. Every social activity, every human experience is impeded when people aren't honest with one another. To be honest is to be real, genuine, authentic, and bona fide. To be dishonest is to be partly forged, fake, or fictitious. Honesty expresses a disposition to live in the light, whereas dishonesty seeks shade, cover, or concealment. God is looking for honest people in whom he can trust, being honest in all their dealings, whose walk matches their talk, keeping their promises, and whose word is their bond. Can God rely on us to be honest with those whom we meet, sharing his gospel and living a righteous life, even if it means dealing with difficult issues? The world can be a dangerous place because there are many paths that lead to destruction. Keeping on the right path is not always easy, and the son was about to discover this for himself. No longer under his father's guidance, it did not take long for this newfound freedom to turn sour, as he realised that his polluted imagination of exotic faraway places were not all that they seemed. Yes, he had a fantastic time at first, living a life with no thought of others or of the future. He lived in the moment until all his money had been frittered away, and it was then he realised he was in trouble. And when he reached rock bottom, he started to think about his father and the home he once had. So many people go down this path, moving away from our Heavenly Father, but only come to him when all else fails, instead of trusting him and allowing him to be our solid foundation. Then we have the second son, who I have called the green-eyed son. Because although he stayed at home, he too wasn't being completely honest about how he felt. Yes, he liked it at home and sort of loved his father, but he also wanted to have his own way. He thought he was smart enough to manage his father and to get out of him what he wanted. He loved himself too much, but was not willing to admit to it. Pride, born of self-conceit, was his guiding star. So as we begin to understand this parable more fully, we see that there are two wayward sons. They both sought to please themselves. Wealth had warped the outlook of both of these boys, although in different ways. The elder son had missed the high qualities in his father. He simply could not understand his father's patience, love and grief over the younger son's absence, because his own heart had become frozen by selfish conceit, which caused him to lack understanding or compassion. He saw his brother as a notorious sinner, but himself as righteous. As far as he was concerned, his brother deserved nothing. He was the one who was left behind. Why should he feel sympathy for his father or brother? And to make matters worse, not only did his father welcome his brother back, but he added salt to the wounds by throwing a party for him. Jealousy had taken over his heart, and his response was anger, causing him to say, "I've been the one who's worked my fingers to the bone, but oh no, you've never thrown me a party." His vision had been clouded, and more importantly, he had missed what the father was doing. His son had gone away, and now he had returned. The past did not matter. How could he not see that? His brother had returned. He should have been pleased, yet he's furious. He feels betrayed by his father and bitterly complains that mercy has been wrongly granted to this rebel. Not wanting to even speak his brother's name or acknowledge the family relationship, he rebukes his father in verse 30 and says, "This son of yours, who has squandered your property, and now you want to throw him a party?" He refused to forgive his brother and allowed sins of pride, covetousness, envy and anger to take captive of him. Unlike the father, who was willing to forgive because his heart was full of love, grace and mercy, just as our Father in heaven's heart is willing to forgive our mistakes. Sadly, the elder brother had become the green-eyed monster, filled with envy and unforgiveness. Erwin Lutzer said, "Envy is rebellion against God's leading in the lives of his children. It's saying that God has no right to bless someone else more than you. And lastly, I believe we have the real hero in this parable, the embrace of the father. The father grieves over the fact that his younger son had gone away. And when he returns, rejoices greatly because he had come home. He runs to meet his son halfway and lovingly embraces him. This is a vivid picture of God's grace for his children. It was the hope of mercy that brought the son to this repentance and forgiveness. The same hope and forgiveness that brings us before our Heavenly Father, who offers us the kiss of reconciliation when we turn to him. The returned son attempts to deliver his prepared speech, admitting he has sinned against heaven, too ashamed to even speak the name of God. He begins, but he doesn't get to finish, for his father calls to the servants to bring out the best robe to cover the son's poverty and shame. A ring as a seal and symbol of his identity as a member of the household, and shoes so that he can now walk in a new way. The father does not humiliate his son, but welcomes him into all the privileges of the family and treats him with honour. He then directs the servants to prepare a feast. Everything this wayward son hoped to find in the wider world, he discovered back home. He moves from give me in verse 12 to make me in verse 19, resulting in reconciliation in verse 24. He was lost and has been found. It's a story of extremes. The younger son's plight, the elder son's envy and jealousy, followed by the father's embrace. The true emphasis is not on the sons, but on the father. It is an unveiling of the heart of God. The central truth of the parable is the picture of our Heavenly Father's heart of love towards undeserving sinners. Fathers, you have a huge responsibility to be good role models for your children, not just when they are young, but as they grow into adulthood and beyond. Pray for your children. Embrace them with loving care throughout their lives as you teach them godly ways and support them through life's ups and downs. Be honest with them, because as followers of Christ, we should be honest at all times, not just with one another, but also with ourselves, because we should abide by different standards than the world's. The younger son exploded in rebellion. He knew what he wanted. His desires led him to gamble and lose everything because he thought he knew best. The elder son exploded with envy, jealousy, and pride. And the father exploded with compassion and grace. The father's love resembles God's love for us that never changes. Even when we walk away from him, he continues to show us gracious love, with his arms remaining wide open for us to run into. He will never turn his back on us, his children. Instead, he showed his kind of love when he sacrificed his only son so that we could live in freedom under his loving care and protection. Shortly, we will be coming before him as we share together in communion. And as we come before our Heavenly Father, can I ask you to take the opportunity to talk with him? Spend time, spend that quality time with him, seeking forgiveness and restoration as we turn our waywardness of fears, pride, jealousy and envy over to him, asking him to fill us with grace, mercy, patience and love. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are a God that just wants to gather your children to himself. Father, we continually get things wrong, but you love us so much that you continually call us back to you. Your arms are always open for us to run into. Father, never let us think that there is anything that we do that will separate us from you. Father, you will never let us go. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you that we have that love. We have that freedom. And we pray, Lord, that we would be drawn closer to you every day of our lives as together we walk in your Son's name. Amen.